Blog Talk Radio.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter, we shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
You
Good evening to everybody in the UK. Good afternoon to everybody in the United States. Hello to everyone around the world. And of course, as we always say, off Earth. This is the English Defense League Radio Show. Your host, Jeff Spider Mitchell, is currently unavailable. My name is Dave Agador Milner. I've tried to reach Jeff through both Skype and his telephone and have been able to do so. Now, those of you out there who are familiar with Jeff know that he has had some health conditions that have put him in the hospital recently. And for you prayer warriors out there, I hope that you will please talk to the Father and see what you can do about asking his blessings for Jeff's health. Right now, I do not know Jeff's condition. It may not be anything at all. Jeff was going out earlier, and he may still be out and about. Let's keep a good thought, and let's keep good prayer. In the meantime, I have to tell you guys that I did consider not doing the show, because the English Defense League radio show should have its host. And if nothing else, it should have a Brit. An American hosting a show about issues in the United Kingdom is strange to say the least. But I also know that I've been helping Jeff out for years now, and he would expect me, regardless of conditions, to put on a show. As Jeff has often said, the show must go on. So I will do the best I can, guys, and I hope you'll pray for me as well, because I'm going to need it. So now, I'll go ahead and read the script, as Jeff usually would. Welcome to the English Defense League radio show with your host, Jeff Spider Mitchell, and his wingman for this evening, which is myself, Dave Agador Milner. Tonight, we will be discussing, and as soon as Jeff gets back, if he can, he's going to come in, so we will be discussing, if he can get in, some of this week's headlines and taking a sharp look at the world establishment media. Whether it is run by cowardly governments or money-grubbing profiteers hired by the Islamic death cult, the fake news machine assaults the public mind with its deceit. With its dark deceit, excuse me, and the powers that be are willing partners. That's why this show, by the way, guys, is called English Defense League Radio Show. English Defense League Radio Show, Back Scratchers. To continue with the script, they produce the fog. We cut through the lies to bring you the truth. No surrender ever. And as Jeff always reads these two quotes, first one, all that is necessary for evil to prevail is that good men do nothing. That comes from Edmund Burke. And those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. And that comes from the late President John F. Kennedy. All right, guys, before we properly begin with stories involving the UK, I know Jeff would like me to cover something. We have news of some earlier deaths and injuries. This comes from ABC News. Two U.S. and one Afghan service members killed, six wounded in Afghanistan attack. Now, as far as we know, what occurred was that a unit came back from mission, and someone in an Afghani army uniform opened up on them with a machine gun. That's the report. We really don't know a heck of a lot more, guys. Again, prayer warriors, thoughts and prayers, please go out to the families of these people and those injured as well. All right. I know Jeff would want me to start with that because the UK military and the American military, the military who are out there doing it for our freedoms and liberties, are very important to him, and they're very important to me as well. Now, guys, I can't promise you an entire 90-minute show this evening, but I'm going to do the best I can to present you with some things that I think are of interest to you in the UK. And by the way, I have to say, they're of interest around the world. Okay, because as the UK does things like leave the European Union, it encourages other nations in Europe to do so. And it encourages all nations to leave the UN. These super states, guys, are not doing any of us any good whatsoever. Okay, so Brexit is very important, not only to you guys in the UK, but to us in the States and to everyone around the planet. Because we've realized, all of us, that as well-intentioned as the experimentation of one world government has been, it's an experiment that has failed. And any scientist will tell you that there's only one thing to do when an experiment fails, and that's move on. Now, I'm going to play you guys a story from Breitbart, okay? And this one here was put out on the 5th of this month, and it's 2 minutes and 27 seconds long. You guys are listening to the English Defense League radio show. Here we go.
Brexit: Britain retakes independent seat at World Trade Organization, by Victoria Friedman on February 5, 2020. The United Kingdom has retaken her independent seat at the World Trade Organization after formerly being represented by the European Union since the WTO was founded in 1995. The UK's ambassador, Julian Braithwaite, gave the country's first independent speech after the country left the bloc on Friday, pledging to fix the WTO. The United Kingdom has long been a strong believer in the role of the multilateral trading system to unlock growth, reduce poverty, and open markets for least developed, developed and developing countries alike. The stability and predictability of this system remains vital to all of us, and the United Kingdom is committed to supporting the international institution that underpins it. There are big challenges facing the WTO today. It is important that these are addressed, and the United Kingdom will play its part in doing so, Mr. Braithwaite said in comments reported by the iNewspaper. Mr. Braithwaite had taken his seat next to the United States' representative. Mr. Vaub has reportedly instructed British diplomats not to sit next to EU representatives in a move to signal that Britain is going global and will not be operating in Brussels' shadow. International Trade Secretary Liz Truss had remarked on an independent Britain returning to the WTO, saying, "This is an historic moment which will give us an independent voice at the WTO for the first time since its inception." Ms. Truss continued that the UK will do everything in our power to help strengthen and reform it. The UK is looking to increase her international trade after the EU transition period comes to an end in December 2020, through signing free trade agreements with countries such as the United States, Japan, Australia, and New Zealand. Mr. Vaub is to visit Australia, Japan, Malaysia, and Singapore over the next few days to discuss FTAs. While the UK also seeks a Canada-style trade deal with the EU, Prime Minister Boris Johnson has made it clear that without a good deal, the UK will simply trade with the European bloc on WTO terms by the end of this year if necessary. Both Treasury Secretary Rishi Sunak and Senior Cabinet Minister Michael Gove have said that the UK does not need a deal to trade with the EU.
And there you are. Welcome back to the English Defense League radio show with your host, Jeff Spider Mitchell. And I am Jeff's wingman, Dave Agnor Milner. And tonight, we're doing the show without Jeff because Jeff is MIA, but I'm sure he'll be in as soon as he can be. Everybody, please, of course, pray for him because he does have health issues. We're just hoping that he's a bit late and he will be back as soon as he can. and hopefully join us in the show. All right. Now, that last subject there, I know some people are going to comment on in a rather disparaging way. They're going to say, well, we're just at the start of this one-year-long divorce process, so to speak, before the UK gets out of the EU. But guys, here's the thing. This is not going to be easy. Europe is going to make it as awkward as they possibly can, and they're going to try and stir up malcontents in the UK. The very night, the very Brexit independence night of January the 31st, there was speculation, believe it or not, guys, on the BBC about the possibility of the UK going back into the EU. They were already trying to discuss this and trying this nonsense on. Guys, all I can say is not only must you stay the course, you must make sure that Boris Johnson stays the course and the Parliament does, so that you truly can get shed of the European Union. The United Kingdom is the mother country in many ways, philosophically, of the United States of America. It is a great nation with a great people. And you do not need to be settled. You do not need to have the sea anchor of the sinking ship of the EU around your necks. Okay? You can do this, and you can make sure that your politicians follow through with what they promised. Now, this next story is one that I knew Jeff would like, and for many reasons, I wish that he were here right now, partly because we can't open a chat room, or I can't open a chat room, because this show truly is a team effort. All right, Jeff handles some things, and I handle some others, and we work really well together, okay? But this was a story, this is another reason why I wish you were here. This is a story that I really believe he would have appreciated, okay? It's not good news, but it confirms a lot of the things that he's always said about pedophilia and the political class, not just in the UK, but around the world. But this particular story, and some of you guys have seen this in the papers in the UK, all right, has to do with Scotland's finance secretary, Derek Mackay, all right, who had to resign. Now, I'm going to go ahead and play this, and you guys will get a nice little thumbnail of it. This is 2 minutes and 40 seconds long. You guys are listening to the English Defense League radio show.
Derek Mackay was the second most powerful politician in Scotland, widely tipped to one day succeed Nicola Sturgeon as SNP leader and First Minister. But inappropriate messages to a 16-year-old schoolboy brought an end to all of that today.
Members will be aware that I have accepted the resignation of Derek Mackay as Finance Secretary. Derek Mackay has apologised unreservedly for his conduct. I can also advise that he has this morning been suspended from both the SNP and our parliamentary group pending further investigation.
Derek Mackay is 42 and has a teenage son, but according to the Scottish Sun newspaper, he contacted a boy online who made it clear he was 16. Undeterred, the politician complimented the schoolboy's haircut, texting him, "Cute, you don't mind compliments." Mackay then asked, "And our chats are between us?" When the boy said yes, Mackay replied, "Cool, to be honest, I think you are really cute. Just as long as you know, but you can delete that message, lol." Opposition parties want Nicola Sturgeon now to go further than suspending him.
Derek Mackay's actions towards a schoolboy are beyond foolish. They are an abuse of power. They are nothing short of predatory. He should go as a member of this parliament.
I understand the First Minister wants to defer to an investigation, but the full content of the text exchanges between Mr. Mackay and this young man are available online today. How difficult is it not to reconcile his conduct with really the very worst connotation?
In a statement, Derek Mackay says, "I take full responsibility for my actions. I have behaved foolishly and I am truly sorry. I apologise unreservedly to the individual involved and his family.
The politicians today in Holyrood united in condemnation, but Police Scotland have now become involved. They say they've not received any complaints of criminality, but they are assessing this case, and they urge anyone with information to come forward.
Presiding Officer, I'm delighted to set out the Scottish Government's budget proposals for 2018-19.
Derek Mackay was supposed to be delivering his government's budget again today. That didn't happen. Instead, these revelations have brought down Scotland's finance secretary, a political and a personal scandal that has shaken Nicola Sturgeon's usually unshakable SNP administration. Peter Smith, News at 10, Edinburgh.
And welcome back to the English Defence League Radio Show. With your host, Jeff Spider Mitchell. I am Dave Agnor Milner, Jeff's sidekick and wingman. I prefer wingman to sidekick. Jeff, unfortunately, is not with us today. We are hoping he will come back sometime during the show, but the show is going to go on anyway because that's what he would want. Now, in regard to that last piece, it's all about privilege, really, when it comes to the political class, and it doesn't really matter which country it's in. There's a different set of rules for them than there is for us, and they want to make sure that status quo stays the same. Were there cameras and other recording devices on Jeffrey Epstein's sex island? Have other politicians been bribed and or coerced around the world with pedophilic traps, sex with underage girls and boys, that sort of thing? Jeff has often said that these sorts of scandals go right up to the top in the UK government. And certainly we know over here in the United States of America that they have touched the very pinnacle of some of our own politicians. And for everyone out there who says, well, you know, it's people from both parties, it's Republicans too, yeah, they're pedophiles. Okay, then answer me this. Why is it that almost every time one of these scandals comes up, it's usually a Democrat or someone from the Labor Party? Okay, you can't answer that question because, frankly, there is no proper answer to that question. Okay, it has to do with privilege and how people view others. Okay, and sadly, people on the left view people on the right, or view all people, not just people on the right, as tools to be used for whatever agendas they have, including their own pleasure, okay? And this is something that goes across the pond, okay? And I have to say, guys, that it's something that people are really tired of. And it's interesting to once again see the left's hand in the cookie jar. It's something that people need to fight. It's evil, okay? And we understand, or I understand, that people have urges and things like that. But self-control is at the heart of it. And having a good relationship with God. And I don't mean like just like Nancy Pelosi standing up and claiming you're praying for your enemies. I mean really having a good relationship with God. And no, I don't mean ostentatiously going out to church every Sunday in your best and making sure the photographers get a picture of you doing that and all of that. No, that doesn't cut it either. When I'm talking about a closer relationship with God, I'm talking about what you do. This goes for politicians as well as each and every one of us, me included. Not just what you say, what you do. That's what's important. And that will see you through. Okay? That will see you through so many temptations. Now, guys, I'm going to move on before this becomes church. I'm going to move on to something else. Now, you can go to tr.news and find the next story that I'm going to play you a clip on. Okay? And the The story has to do, you'll have to go on the second page, really, in tr.news to find this story. But it has to do with the aftermath of Tommy Robinson's acceptance speech in the Danish Parliament chamber when he accepted the Sappho Award from the Danish Free Press Society, the Sappho Award for Free Expression. There were, of course, interviews afterward, and one of them took place, actually a few of them took place on in a prominent program on Danish national television. And thereby hangs a tale. I'm going to play you this audio, guys, that is just under 10 minutes long. And this is from the 24th of last month. We've had quite a lot to do, so we haven't had really a chance on the show to bring this to your attention, but it's something you should hear because we did run all of Tommy Robinson's acceptance speech, which was a damning condemnation of the press. And immediately after this occurred, you guys are listening to the English Defense League radio show. And this is Tommy Robinson from TR.news.
So this week I was invited to Danish Parliament to receive an award on free speech. I was invited by the Danish Free Press Society. I gave a presentation on fake news and deception by the media. As soon as I finished my presentation, I was invited to speak on the equivalent of the BBC in Denmark. I went on a show called Deadline, where the host questioned me for 10 minutes. Once he'd finished questioning me, he had the organiser of the event in Parliament on to question her. And he threw questions at her and showed her videos that she couldn't possibly have answered.
Der opsøger han en reporter.
Mike shouldn't have a problem with this, should he? Because Mike thinks it's all fun and games. And that's okay. Mike! Mike, there's Mike. There's Mike hiding, let's see. Come on, Mike. Did you see him? So Mike is up. Mike was in his house. But of course, Mike's not man enough to come out and talk. What a coward.
That man's not a journalist. He's an Antifa supporter. He was part of a coordinated group who planned and sent an Antifa activist to my children's home. He threatened to murder my children.
He loves it. And on that note, see, on that happy note, oh, by the way, Tommy, I am going to mince your kids, mate.
My children had to evacuate their home, and they chose a time to do it when they knew I wasn't in the country. My children left their home and have never been back there since. Okay? Now, I ask the host if he's aware of the threats to murder my kids and why I went and knocked on that door.
Yes. Can we ask you one last thing, Tommy?
Yeah. Can I ask? Why didn't you ask me? Why would you ask someone else about those videos? Why wouldn't you ask me? Because she doesn't know
because,
the answers.
No, because in Danish, I'll tell you what I asked Aya. I asked...
Because you know the video you showed of me knocking on the door?
At the start, he doesn't realise I'm recording him. And I ask him, where are your producers? Is your TV station aware of the threat to murder my children? He confirms.
Yeah, I asked...
Because you know the video you showed of me knocking on the door? Have you seen the video of what they've done at my family's home? The night before that?
Some of my colleagues have.
So why haven't they... Because the man threatened to kill my children on a video. Mm. So why haven't you shown... The man threatening. I went and knocked on someone's door because someone come and threatened to murder my kids. You haven't shown that. You've shown me knocking on someone's door, and you haven't showed the true reality of the reason why I knocked at his door.
Can we please sit down.
Yeah.
When I start questioning him, he tells me to sit down. So I think, here we go. We're going to have now a discussion, because he should have asked me that question, but he chose not to. They chose to have that video to ambush Aya, to fool the Danish public into a different context to what really happened. So I sit down to answer his questions, only all he really wanted was to address the camera with me in the background.
Can I please sit down?
Yeah. Do you want me to take the microphone?
We can. I'll explain afterwards.
Yeah, because what that looks like to me is, you've showed a video that doesn't show.
I'll explain it afterwards.
Okay. Okay.
This is a spot for the program. Okay. Saying we have you on tonight.
Yeah. I think that's very deceitful. I think that's very deceitful what you've done there.
No, it's not. Can I ask you when I do the talk to look into this camera?
Yeah.
It'll look like the most natural thing to do. Yeah. Han en superstjerne på det globale yderste højre. Tommy Robinson er gæst i Deadline 22:30.
As soon as he finishes, I continue to ask him the questions as to why he didn't give the real context. Why haven't they shown the public the threat to murder my children so people can understand whilst I was knocking on their door? As I push him, he realises I'm recording him. He then denies that they knew about the reason I knocked on the door. He says his producers might have watched the video.
So if your colleagues saw the video that showed someone threatened to murder my children, then you already know why I knocked on that door. But then you sat down and asked her and showed a video, but you know why I knocked on the door. You've just told me your colleague saw the video. So what did he ask you about?
I said
if it was good journalism.
Okay, did he mention that they threatened to murder my children,
no.
Even though he knew?
No.
Okay.
No. I didn't know.
You said your colleagues know.
I said they might know.
No, you said they know. They watched it. That's what you said.
Let's just rewind and see what he actually said.
Yeah, I asked.
Because you know the video you showed of me knocking on the door. Have you seen the video of what they done at my family's home? The night before that?
Some of my colleagues have.
So why haven't they? Because the man threatened to kill my children.
So I continue to follow him as you watch now and question him about his real journalism.
I said they might know.
No, you said they know. They watched it. That's what you said.
Okay.
You did say that because you're on record saying it.
Okay, so you're recording.
I'm recording to show that you're fake news. I'm recording to show that you were fully aware.
Isn't that brilliant?
It is. It is. It's quite funny because you knew why I knocked on the door, but you didn't show him that. Why not?
Isn't that great?
Why not? Do you not agree that what you've done there is deceitful to the public?
Yeah.
Do you not agree?
Do you not agree
that you've just played perfectly into the stereotype of what the mainstream media do?
Absolutely not.
Well, you have. You told me, I've got you on camera telling me you know why I knocked on his door, yet you haven't mentioned why I knocked on his door, and you've implied that that's what you've done. You don't have a comment to make that you are producing fake news.
Well, this happens to be Danish broadcasting.
Yeah.
So here I get to ask the questions.
So here you get to lie to the public.
No.
Do you not think the Danish people would rather know the reality of why I knocked on the door? Do you not? They just smile, yeah? Just lie like you're just all the same, aren't you? It's unbelievable. You're just all the same. You put your little piece together, which will manipulate the reality of what happened. See, I'll put together on this video the man threatening to murder my kids. Which your colleagues are aware of.
Right, you're welcome.
Yeah. Do you feel like you're doing a service of journalism? When you said that's real journalism, do you think this is real journalism, what you've just done? Do you think that's real journalism? Why didn't you ask me about videos of myself? Why would you ask Aya? That doesn't make sense.
No.
You had the opportunity to sit down and ask me questions, but you didn't. You asked them to someone who couldn't answer, because they're not me. No?
Well, you don't know what I asked in Danish, do you?
I do. You asked her, do you think this is proper journalism? I'm asking you.
Exactly.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And if someone threatened to murder my kids, if someone threatened to murder your children, would you go knock on their door? But you did. You know someone come to my house. You know that my family are friends.
No.
Yeah, you said. I've got your camera saying it.
Yeah, yeah.
You said my colleagues have seen the videos. And now, because you've been caught with your pants down, you're just lying. And this is the reason that all of you are judged. It's the reason why no one trusts you.
We can come out here this way.
Real journalism, eh?
Now you can find your way out.
I will, no problem. You'll be on the viral video.
Yeah.
That's fake news.
The irony of this. I go to Denmark in Parliament, I give an entire presentation on fake news and media manipulation. And instantly after that, I'm invited onto their main TV station so they can produce fake news and manipulate the Danish public into a different context without giving them the reality of the facts. Do you know the fine thing I find most shocking out of all of this? Is that TV host is a descendant of Vikings.
Welcome back to the English Defense League Radio Show with your host, Jeff Spider Mitchell. I am Dave. Agnor Milner, Jeff's wingman. Jeff is not available right now, and we pray that he's all right and that he's just out having a good time and unable to join us. He will join us when he can, and we're hoping he's okay. Now, guys, that audio there, and you have to see the video to get the full impact of it, but the audio covers it pretty well. There are a couple of things in that audio, though, that really just strike me as amazingly arrogant on the part of this TV show host. I don't mean Tommy Robinson. I mean this tall, blonde, square-shouldered off TV host. Okay. First of all, once he realizes that Tommy Robinson is recording him, once he was told that, you can go to tr.news and look at this video for yourselves, and you can hear him say, oh, that's brilliant, that's brilliant. In other words, at that moment, he realized that, as Tommy Robinson said, he was caught with his pants down. He had been Operation Veritas at that point. He had been caught out, and there wasn't a thing he could do about it. But he could do one thing, all right? He immediately began to escort Tommy Robinson out of the building because he knew he'd been busted. And the other thing that he did that I thought just typified how the left stream media, that's an interesting way of putting it, how the fake stream media and the lefties that run it feel about you and about me is, as Tommy Robinson was telling him he was busted, he was laughing. He was laughing because, very likely, guys, and this is the saddest part of all of this, his job is probably secure. Almost certainly, unlike John Sweeney, who was fired from the BBC, and rightfully so, after Tommy Robinson put out his excellent documentary, Panodrama. You guys might be able to find that on BitChute, by the way. You also might possibly be able to find that on YouTube, although Mr. Robinson's videos on YouTube have been restricted because YouTube are jerks. All right. But in the case of this individual from Denmark, yes, his job is probably secure. That's the worst part of all of this. And as Tommy Robinson said, the giant irony that Mr. Robinson concludes a speech that is a damning condemnation of the fake stream media, legacy media, mainstream media, whatever you want to call it. And immediately after, you know they had this pre-planned, by the way. The Danish TV station had this pre-planned. The Danish TV station engages in the very sort of deceit that Tommy Robinson so eloquently spoke of in his speech. It was an amazing thing to see. And that is why, folks, you really can't trust these people. Always look for the other angle when you get news from these people. All right. Jeff and I have shown this time and time again on this show. I've shown it on The Unpleasant Blind Guy, my show, and it just keeps going on and on. And they're supported not only oftentimes by governments, but also by funny money from very rich people who have a leftist agenda and want to use the media to forward that agenda. That's why the show is called Back Scratchers, because it's all sorts of people scratching each other's backs. It's Mohammedans who have a lot of money, who want their agenda forwarded. It's government officials who want power, so they want their agenda forwarded. And, of course, it's media people who want access and fame and money. So they're going to do everything they can to scratch the backs of the aforementioned two so that their backs will get scratched. It's actually pretty disgusting, but it's real. And that's why I felt, and Jeff did approve of this yesterday, by the way, it's why we felt that we had to bring it to you guys. Now we're going to shift gears here a little bit. Remember, I just talked about YouTube and censorship. And we have to realize that the media is not just newspapers and TV and radio anymore. It's long since moved into social media, YouTube, Facebook, and all of the other social media platforms and things of that nature. Well, if you guys go to tr.news, you'll find a very interesting story. And this is put out by Avi Yemeni. If you want to go looking for it, the story is called Censorship Catches Up with Desperate Facebook. All right. And it's a story that was put out on the 5th of this month. I'm going to play you the video that goes along with this story. This is 2 minutes and 20 seconds long. You guys are listening to the English Defense League radio show. Here we go.
This is massive news. Facebook has finally realized that free speech is far better than censorship.
I've tried to change our approach more recently. You know, I went out and in Georgetown last year, I gave this speech around our principles around free expression. And, you know, that's just one of the areas that I really feel like is under attack right now. Increasingly, we're getting called to censor a lot of different kinds of content that makes me really uncomfortable. I think that it kind of feels like the list of things that you're not allowed to say socially keeps on growing, and I'm not really okay with that.
Wow. I guess that means we're all getting our pages back now. Not so fast. Within 24 hours, someone sent me this screenshot. Scott Moreland got a 30-day ban for sharing a video of mine that was going viral on Facebook. Understand. The video itself, Facebook deemed as okay. It's still up there with over 500,000 views. So, writing the words, "I'm glad he's on our side," must have been the bannable offense. To be honest, I don't know what Zuckerberg's motive is for saying that Facebook's done with censorship. Maybe it's because Facebook reported its slowest ever revenue growth, and he realized that censorship will ultimately kill them. Or possibly it's because he's becoming more of a conservative. Now, if you watch the full interview, that seems plausible too.
I've become more religious.
Really?
Yeah.
But the fact is, I doubt even Zuckerberg has the power to control the army of social justice warriors his company hired as moderators. Whether he likes it or not, I predict censorship will continue until Facebook collapses entirely. If you have any doubt, just take a look at The Guardian today. They're pressuring Facebook to remove more of my content. You know, because reporting what really happened that day is definitely fake news and hate speech. If you support the work we do here at TR News, if you refuse to allow the censorship to win, please consider supporting us financially at tr.news/support. We cannot do this without your generosity.
And welcome back to the English Defense League radio show with your host, Jeff Spider Mitchell. I'm Dave Agador-Milner, Jeff's wingman, and Jeff, unfortunately, right now is MIA, but we are hoping that Jeff will come back into the show and join us very soon, all right? And until he does, the show will go on as Jeff would have wanted, all right? And again, prayer warriors, guys, if you're out there, please... give a thought to Jeff and remember him in your prayers, because he is very important, not just to me, but to the cause of freedom and liberty. Really, not just for the English Defense League, but for the world movement of freedom and liberty, okay? But, guys, we're going to move on here after I talk about Avi Yemeni's video here. Now, guys, don't take what Zuckerberg... It would be really nice if we all did have our pages back. But as some of you know, there was a big purge some time back, and I, among many other people, through the behest of Hope Not Hate in the UK, had their Facebook accounts completely disabled. Right. That has not abated. Those pages have never been reactivated, and I don't expect them to be reactivated. It would be nice if they were, but just as Avi Yemeni says, I believe that it would actually take Zuckerberg years, if he really meant what he said, to bring Facebook back to a full free speech platform. It would take him years to root out the social justice jihad warriors that are now embedded in Facebook. They're also embedded in Google. So guys, don't trust Google at all. That means don't trust YouTube. All right, if you have a video you want to put up, put it up on BitChute. Maybe put it up on Patreon. I haven't checked out Patreon, but definitely don't put it up on YouTube. And I was a part of a panel discussion some time back held by the great Dan Butcher, who was in charge of a great network. And one of the contributors on there said, well, look, if every American were to get off of Facebook, they would still have a billion users. And he implied that going up against them or getting off of Facebook would be a useless gesture. Well, it would be if everybody just stayed on and accepted what Facebook does. But guys, every time you're on Facebook and you click on anything on Facebook, any ad or anything of that nature, even some of the pages that Facebook throws up there on the side, Facebook gets paid for that. They get money. Okay, so if you're still on the Facebook plantation, you need to understand that you're supporting part of what they do, whether you agree with it or not. And there are other places to go. Guys, I'm Dave Milner or Agador. All right, on Gab, on MeWe, on Minds, on Spreely, on Mumblet, the Tea Party community, okay? I'm UBG Contact on Twitter, but of course, Twitter is just as bad about banning people and whatnot. Okay, so I'm expecting one day to be banned off of Twitter. Okay, but there are other games in town, and I think Avi Yemeni does have a point. Now, the fact that Facebook did not grow in its revenues is not that big a deal for them. It's not enough to send them panicking. It might, though, be enough to cause a small amount of concern there in the big house of the Facebook plantation. And you guys do not have to pick the cotton on that plantation, okay? There are other places to go that are friendlier. And if you see content on those places that disturbs you, that you don't like, block them. That's all you have to do. Then they and their opinions are gone forever, and you don't have to worry about them anymore. Now, guys, I'm going to go ahead here and play you something from a gentleman who usually has some pretty good opinion. He generally writes op-ed pieces for Breitbart News from London, okay? And it's from a guy named James Dellingpole. All right, if you want to go looking for this, amazingly enough, is still on YouTube. And it's called Get Woke, Go Broke, Time to Abolish the Increasingly Biased BBC. Now, this is something also, guys, that Jeff and I have a lot of agreement on. I have a lot of agreement on getting rid of anything that tries to constrict free speech. And the BBC is really horrible about doing that. We've proven that time and again here on this program. But I found Mr. Dellingpole's insights and that of some of the panel that he was speaking with to be very interesting. And I hope, and Jeff hopes as well, that you guys will find it to be interesting as well. Okay? And we're going to go ahead and start this. This was done, by the way, on the 21st of January, and it is 5 minutes and 47 seconds long. So, check this out. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show.
You've been a strong critic of the BBC, and particularly for its cultural output, which David was raising.
Yeah.
I mean, what's your take on all of this?
Well, can I just pick David up on that, the climate change point? For some considerable time now, the BBC has refused to give airspace to so-called climate deniers, i.e. people who are sceptical about the quality of the science, suggesting that we're all going to hell in a handcart because of this thing called man-made global warming. I think it's a complete journalistic failure, because actually the issue is still very much open for debate, and I would disagree strongly with the notion that it's scientists who know everything versus deniers who know nothing, which is what you were kind of implying. Nevertheless, I think the bigger problem with the BBC is to do with things that aren't to do with current affairs. Mm-hmm. The fact that you cannot watch, for example, a BBC drama now without seeing this tick box United Colours of Benetton casting, for example. What was the one about The Bodyguard, where the sniper teams had black female snipers. Now, you show me a black female sniper anywhere in London, I'll be very impressed. You notice these things. Doctor Who is now so impossibly woke that it's gone broke, basically. But this happens across the board. You cannot find BBC drama that doesn't play this game. So I would agree that party politics, maybe it does strive to be impartial. But in terms of the culture wars, the BBC is very much on the liberal left, woke, social justice warrior side of the argument.
I suppose the question is how much that interferes with quality. For example, there are things that have been weaker, like perhaps The War of the Worlds, which I think was very broadly rubbished, and then Dracula, which is pretty equally woke in many ways, but a lot of people thought that it was really quite good, at least the
earlier. It had its moments, but the first episode where it was sort of gothic was fine. The second one was Agatha Christie was less good. The third one was Doctor Who was absolute pants. Another example, I suppose, would be the adaptation of Les Miserables. Now, this is where the BBC is going. So you had a black Inspector Javert. Mm. Well, the book was written in the 1830s, or set in the 1830s, rather. I don't believe that it is at all implausible that you'd have a black police inspector in 1830s France. Now, you may say, well, of course, we move to the times and things change. Well, in that case, why didn't they have wind farms in the background? Why didn't they have TV aerials or whatever? Because TV drama, classic TV drama, is ultimately about verisimilitude. You're trying to recreate a period, the look of the period. The BBC is failing to do that. So it is sacrificing entertainment value and verisimilitude for woke.
Netflix is quite woke.
Wokeish.
Sky News, Channel 4.
It doesn't trigger me in the same way that the BBC does.
It's not clear that the market would completely reject those things, as long as maybe
I think the BBC would definitely shift its entertainment output in a less woke direction, because, well, Doctor Who is such a good example. It's died on its feet. It could never survive in a commercial environment, because it wouldn't have the BBC to bankroll it. It wouldn't have the viewers to support it.
Well, Doctor Who in general could. It's a great brand and an amazing sort of.
They've pretty much killed the brand. I mean, they've pretty much given us a sort of black female James Bond, haven't they? They've done the equivalent thereof.
Well, I haven't seen it first launched. It was quite good. It was, you know, it had learnt from Buffy the Vampire Slayer and.
We're talking away, but look, I totally agree that the one about the statues, Blink, that could get you, was great, but it had but even then, that was created by Stephen Moffat, who is now the godfather of woke. Definitely our culture has embraced this kind of identity politics, cultural Marxism thing at a very rapid and accelerating rate, and I think that, you know, what may have been true 10 years ago ain't true now. The BBC is over. One thing I wanted to mention, one of the few good things on the BBC is Eggheads, that quiz show. And I understand that the BBC is really bothered by Egghead, the fact that it's mostly watched by older people, and they're thinking of scrapping it just because the audience don't fit into the right profile. Now, what kind of institution? We shouldn't be supporting an institution like that. That's wrong.
Of course, journalism and the arts are both very left-wing professions, sort of by their nature. It's hard to see, even if you change a few people at the top of the BBC, would that really make a difference?
No, I think the BBC is screwed beyond measure. And actually, I just want it. I want it burnt to the ground, and I want the earth sorted. There is no hope. But we're not going to get that. So at least let's expose it.
People do love it.
Expose it. Well, some people do. Do they really? Who loves it?
Well, they don't trust it as much as they do. But sort of half of the public still trusts it. It's not exactly loveless, but you know, it's seen as a
people are slow,
institution.
Slow to notice things, aren't they? Because it's still got the same initials, BBC.
Yeah.
It's still got the same shaped programmes, more or less. So people think, well, it must be the same
thing. It does many fine things. The World Service is still pretty good.
If an organisation gets billions of pounds a year, it's bound to do something good with it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not
rather right.
Too impressive in the context.
I love that last bit. And welcome, everyone, back to the English Defense League Radio Show. With your host, Jeff Spider Mitchell. I'm Dave Milner, Jeff's wingman, and we are still hoping that Jeff will get back with us. He's away from the program right now. He might still be out having fun. There's a possibility that something might have happened to his communications because of the weather system that has hit the UK. You know, let's all just pray that Jeff himself is all right. The last I spoke with Jeff, all right, Jeff was doing well and feeling well. He was looking forward to going to a nice dinner today and looking forward also to doing the show. So, you know, that right there was an indicator to me that we would see Jeff today and he would be all right. And Jeff and I would be doing the show together. But instead, I am doing it on my own. And I have to say that, like I said to you guys earlier, I did consider not doing the show. But I decided that Jeff is always saying the show must go on. So even though I am a poor substitute for the host of this program, not even a Brit, okay, I am going on with the show, and Jeff, I just hope wherever you are, I'm making you proud of me. But guys, to Mr. Dellingpole's point, okay, and to that young lady's point, that she actually stole the show right at the end, really. When you have an organization that is only accountable to itself and it's a pseudo-government organization, I mean, here we go again with back scratchers. The government being quote-unquote woke, back scratching the artsy-fartsy community being quote-unquote woke, and it's the same over here in the United States with the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, what we call PBS. Over here in the United States, their TV and NPR, which is their radio outlet. All right, it's basically the same. Okay, it's woke, extremely politically correct, and much of it is dreck. Now, I have to indulge myself just a little bit here, guys. I've been a fan of Doctor Who for decades, and honestly, I thought that the show was a giggle. I thought it was a fun show, okay? A friend of mine described the appeal of Doctor Who and what Doctor Who was in comparison to shows like Star Trek and others. He said, just imagine Doctor Who as a comic book come to life. And if you do that, then you can really enjoy the program. And I enjoyed the show from the first, seeing it on PBS, again, here in the United States, from the first Doctor, William Hartnell, all the way through the seventh Doctor, Sylvester McCoy, and I even enjoyed the episode that they tried on Fox with the eighth Doctor. I enjoyed that. I began to not enjoy it when it came out later, with the politically correct meme going on with big ears. That's that particular doctor. I call him Big Ears. Guys, you know, forgive me, I don't remember his name. But this was one where there was definitely an anti-American sentiment going on. There was one episode where they killed off an analog of President Bush. And I was able to stomach a lot of it. I mean, let's face it, guys. Those of us who are longtime Doctor Who fans always wanted to see the Daleks and the Cybermen throw down. In other words, have a fight, okay? We always wanted to see that, and we did get to see that, and that was pretty cool, okay? I will give them that. Okay, they did that bit, but they didn't have to do the rest of it to give us that bit. Okay, and then they came up with a woman doctor. Now, when Tom Baker left the show, in I think it was 1981, I read later on that they were considering replacing him with a woman. And back in those days, this was about 1989-ish when I read this. Back in those days, I said, you know what, Doctor Who's a fun show. That might have been a giggle. I wouldn't have minded, okay, because political correctness would not have been on their minds. It wouldn't have been what they were talking about. Tom Baker had finished the Doctor Who program with a couple of quote-unquote time ladies. The one had come after the other as far as actresses go, and they were both strong and they were able to be funny at the same time. It was really pretty nice. So I thought to myself in 1989, hey, you know, could have been fun. But it's different now. We know now why a woman was chosen to be the doctor, because it's the ultimate in woke. Just as Delling Pole said, it's like having a black woman agent 007. And for me, it doesn't work. All right? Ladies, I love you. And that's not jokes. That's real. I respect you. And women can do a lot of things. And there's nothing wrong with developing new storylines and new outlets for women, okay, with women as the hero. Not a thing in the world wrong with that. But what we don't need is for men to be replaced by women in these. I did a couple of shows in the last year that I did The Unpleasant Blind Guy exclusively before I came in to help Jeff, and they were called Vagination. And it had to do with how men and the presence of men is being replaced in my country, the United States of America, with that of women and with the reasoning for it. And the reasoning for it is not good. Okay? The emasculation of a culture is never a good thing, especially when you have other men moving into that culture. And I'm speaking of the Mohammedans. When it comes to the UK now, who are definitely not going to accept any kind of emasculation. They're out there getting into their jihadi rape gangs on these children, and you'd better believe they're going to be manly men when it comes to that stuff, okay? So you see the culture pulling one way, and you see it pulling another, and this is not a good thing, people. That I can guarantee. Now, let me get into the next story. And this is one also that I think Jeff would have really, really liked, okay? And there's kind of a moral to this story, I think. And it's one that I think that, as I say, I think Jeff would have enjoyed it, okay? Now, this here comes from the Daily Mail. I saw this when I was scanning through and looking for last-minute stories, just in case. As you do when you're about to start a show like this, we like to plan ahead of time. Jeff saw almost everything that I talked about so far today, and he liked it and all of that, but I always like to take a look at the headlines just in case something else has happened that we need to do some coverage on. Okay, so I came across this. Now, this is in the Daily Mail. It's by Jessica Green for the Mail Online. All right. And the headline. Prince Harry underwent a hair, quote, sickening treatment, end quote, at prestigious London clinic following claims. You guys gonna love this. His bald patch had, quote, doubled, end quote, in size since his 2018 wedding to Meghan Markle. Now that's the headline. I'm going to read the four bullet points. The first bullet point. Prince Harry, age 35, reportedly visited a hair loss clinic in London, Mayfair. Second bullet point. The royal is thought to have undergone thickening treatment on his bald patch. The third one. He purportedly went to Philip Kingsley. Okay, I'm going to have to read this. Trichological clinic at the end of last year. Interesting phraseology there. And the last bullet point. The royal moved to Canada in January to start a new life with Meghan and Archie. Now, guys, there are many reasons, the scientists say, why men go bald. And a lot of it has to do with heredity, and we know this. But I think some of it has to do with stress. And you have to think about this. Okay, this guy married basically a gold digger, and she has spirited him away from his family, from his responsibilities, from things that many people in the UK believe that he knows are the right things that he needs to be doing. Okay? Now, can it be any wonder that the poor guy's bald spot has doubled since he married Yoko Ono? That's who I call Meghan Markle, Yoko Ono. Okay? Is it any wonder that this has happened? Guys, I think it's stress, and there is a moral to this story. And the moral of the story is, don't marry a leftist gold digger. Keep your hair. Okay? Jeff, if you're listening, I hope you like that one, brother. And I knew that Jeff would love that story. Okay? Now, guys, we've got one more before we shut the show down. Okay? Now, this one, guys, is one that we've been holding back. I've been holding back. Both of us have been holding it back since the first of the year because, frankly, so much has gone on. I mean, my God, 2020 has started like a star runner blasting off the blocks in a track meet. It's been so far. We're only into the second month. It's been an amazing year. It's been crazy. But this one I really wanted to get to. Now, there's an old maxim in news, guys. Dog bites man is not news. Man bites dog is news. Now, this story was put out on the 3rd of January. By Fox News, and it's by Paulina Dedish, okay? And the headline, Naked Florida Man, of course, Florida Man, high on meth, bites canine dog, assaults officer. Okay, so if you guys want to go and look for this, you can find that one. And I'm going to scroll down just a bit so that I can read you some of this here. All right, here we go. A Florida man is facing several charges after police say he assaulted an officer and bit the ear of a canine dog while naked and high on methamphetamines last week. Now, I'm going to make a confession to you. In the very late 1970s and very early 1980s, very late 1970s, I was a ziphead myself. but I never bit a dog. Okay. Just going to let you know that. All right. I'm since, thank Jesus, I'm since off the stuff. Now, I read more. Donald Watts, age 38, was arrested Saturday for multiple charges, including simple battery, two counts of resisting an officer slash arrest, and one count of aggravated battery on a service dog. So evidently this is a law. All right. Inmate records online showed. Okay, so you guys, that is an actual link. So if you go and find this story, you can find that link too. All right. Deputies with the Columbia County Sheriff's Office were called to a residence on Southeast Brawley Terrace in High Springs, just over 70 miles west of Jacksonville, Saturday morning, over reports that a man, later identified as Watts, was using methamphetamines, Fox News 30 reported, citing an arrest report. Okay, and we're going to scroll down just a little bit more here, and it shows a picture of the worthy. All right. And here we go. Deputies reported hearing, quote, strange noises, end quote, when searching the yard, and eventually located Watts naked and covered in dirt, lying in what appeared to be some shallow body of water. Had to be really healthy, especially in Florida. Watts' behavior was described as manic by two responding deputies who said he paced, quote, back and forth, laughing, end quote, while making, quote, bird noises, end quote. Now, guys, again, I want to give you a little benefit of my experience, which I'm not proud of. I'm just saying that I had the experience at doing this sort of thing. I did engage in manic behavior. A lot of zip heads do. But I never walked back and forth and made bird noises. I'm just going to say that. Law enforcement officials said that Watts ran under the porch of a mobile home, and when deputies tried to detain him, Watts punched one, according to the report. Several attempts were made to use a taser on the suspect, and that was unsuccessful, prompting officers to wait for a canine unit. Okay, so here comes the doggy. The two responding deputies, along with five backup deputies and a canine handler, with his dog, Casper, found Watts in the woods. He was on his, quote, hands and knees and began to growl like a dog, end quote, Fox 30 reported, citing the arrest report. Nothing good can come of that, let me tell you guys. Casper was given the command to apprehend Watts, but the deranged man, quote, leaped, grabbed Casper by the head, and bit Casper's ear as he drove Casper to the ground, end quote. Eventually, the dog broke free and bit Watts in the head. Deputies were able to detain Watts and took him to the hospital before transporting him to the county jail, where he was being held on $37,000 bond. So there you go, guys. There is your man bites dog story. They don't happen very often, thank goodness. We all love our pets. We all love our doggies and our kitties. But one thing you can guarantee, man bites dog is news. All right. Now, guys, I'm going to go ahead and shut the show down. I was really hoping that Jeff would be able to come back in. As I say, perhaps he is having technical issues due to the weather system that is hitting the UK today. I did notice looking at the weather map for over there that it is most prevalent in the south of the UK today. It will be over soon there. So perhaps he's having those issues. Perhaps he's just still out having a good time. I pray that's all it is. And I pray for Jeff's health, and I hope you guys will pray for his health too. As for show promotions and things of that nature, you guys should understand that this program is linked with the SHR Media Network. You can hear the Sunday English Defense League radio shows on my page, the Unpleasant Blind Guy page at Spreaker.com, and that is also available through SHR Media and the Western Free Radio Network. Now, my regular show times are 1 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday, in the United States, of course, and that's 6 p.m. Monday through Friday in the UK, and midnight Saturday in the United States, Eastern Time, and that is 5 a.m. Saturday in the UK. Now, if you guys want to hear these programs live, if you want to hear the Thursday programs live, okay, or the Sunday programs, we run the English Defense League radio show live at 8:30 p.m. in the UK, and that's 3:30 p.m. Eastern in the United States, Thursdays and Sundays. You can come to the program. Just go to blogtalkradio.com and search the white search box. Type in English Defense League Radio up there and follow the links and you'll get to us. If you want to get into the chat room, which Jeff usually opens, all right, you'll have to register with the site, but then you can get into the chat room and talk with Jeff. You know, he's always delighted to see people in the chat room, and we would be delighted to see you guys there. Now, folks, as Jeff always says, and certainly as I say too, if there wasn't you, there wouldn't be us. We appreciate you guys more than you realize, all right? And I just want to say to our listeners, to the foot soldiers and angels of the English Defense League, to the freedom fighters around the world. I'm talking about Hong Kong, Iran, France, countries all over the planet, people who are taking up the banner of freedom and liberty. I want to say to them, I want to say to the Brexiteers, guys who are keeping on to make sure that Brexit is completed, all of you, to please be vigilant out there, as Jeff says. Be prosperous. Be blessed. And no surrender ever. We will see you guys on Thursday. God bless.
Relax me, I'm too busy dodging through the flag. 2 3 years, so what you